And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord of life, giver of every good thing. On this night of nights, we praise you for coming among us, that we need never be afraid. Emmanuel, God, is with us. Amen. Years before Jesus was born, there stood in the center of Rome a temple to the Roman god Janus, and the doors to that temple always stayed open as long as war was going on anywhere in the Roman Empire. The doors had been open for as long as anyone could remember, until about 29 years before Jesus was born, and the world was at peace, and the doors were closed. And they gave credit to Caesar Augustus. For 41 years, Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome, the greatest ever. He was the one who ended the wars, the civil wars, the wars between the nations. He was the one who cleared the Mediterranean of pirates so that there could be commerce, and the world grew more prosperous. He was the one who built great aqueducts and public works projects and great coliseums all over and theaters. He established fire brigades and police forces in the Roman cities. He made them civilized, safe places to live. He encouraged the artists and writers of his time. He passed laws that encouraged strong family life, He was so esteemed when he rode in a parade. His chariot was always preceded by 9 chariots, each one being driven by a king that he had conquered. He was simply the greatest political leader of the ancient world. He was so significant that every time you write a check in the month of August, you're remembering him. That's who the month was named for. Archaeologists have uncovered inscriptions calling Augustus the Savior of the world. That's what they called him. And indeed, there were some places in the empire which spread from modern-day England all the way to Syria. He was worshipped as a god because he had brought order out of chaos. They've discovered a birthday inscription in stone on a great arch, and it says, "The birthday of the god," referring to Augustus, "has marked the beginning of the good news for the world." So Caesar Augustus was a powerful ruler. His reach was so extensive that he could say, "All the world must go and be registered." And people started going. And that's what this story is about. His influence was so great, he could send a command and the whole world would respond. Isn't it interesting that before Luke shows us the birth of Jesus in the gospel, he reminds us about Augustus. He asks us to pause for a minute or two and remember the greatest king, the most influential person of the era, Caesar Augustus. Isn't it interesting? Caesar built Rome, the town to which all roads lead. He made it a gleaming city of marble, the capital of all the world. But Jesus and his family, born in a little a peasant village, from a place that was so insignificant it's not even listed in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. Augustus is a builder on the order of Donald Trump. The story says Joseph is a builder, but Joseph is the kind of builder that carries a lunchbox and wears a tool belt. And on the job site, Joseph may brag to his buddies that, you know, our family, we're descended from King David. But when they rolled into Bethlehem, there was no one waiting for them. There was no red carpets, and there was not even a place for them to stay. Augustus has built for himself multiple palaces of marble and great reception rooms where he'll receive potentates and generals and world leaders. But the room that receives Jesus, well, it's not really a room in the strictest sense. It's a shed for animals to get into, out of the weather, dirt floors, mud-plastered walls. Augustus rode through the streets of Rome on a thoroughbred. And he had people going before him and people going after him. And when he got to his palaces, there were people to bring the different courses of food in and people to take the different dishes out. People to guard him, people to wait on him. But apparently Mary and Joseph are in the stable all by themselves. There's no mention of a sister there, a mother, a midwife even, to help mom through her first delivery. No mention of menfolk waiting outside, you know, to congratulate themselves, pass around a box of cigars. Nobody there waiting to put a big blue bow with ribbons on the door, because there is no door. Maybe just a scrap of a feed sack sort of stuck up to give a little bit of privacy. Luke takes only 5 verses out of that to say something about the birth of Jesus. But we get it. Luke doesn't have to belabor the point. We get it. But the plainness, the simplicity, the vulnerability of this child in comparison to Augustus Caesar, we get it. Augustus, the mightiest man on earth, and Jesus, God with us, a frail, fragile, vulnerable child. People tremble with fear at the edicts of Caesar. But a baby. Well, Caesar would wear his bronze armor and his helmet. Kind of hard to hug an emperor in bronze armor and a helmet. But a baby in swaddling clothes? It teaches us we need to not be fearful of God. God comes among us not as the meanest and the strongest and the mightiest, but as a tiny, fragile, new life. A little baby who grasps his mama's fingers with his finger and who will later wrap his loving arms around people. Caesar is the one who has worked his way up in the world to the top. Jesus, God incarnate, is the one who has worked his way down to us. He has come to us where we are. Augustus, well, Augustus ordered the census. He wanted to count every person so he could tax them. He wanted to count everyone. But Jesus comes to let everyone know that they count. He comes to tell them, for every one of you, there is a treasure hidden among you. The kingdom of God, the very presence of the Lord. Caesar comes ruling the world in his might. Jesus comes loving the whole world in tenderness. To teach us of a God of tenderness and compassion. Old man Zechariah, a distant relative of Jesus, broke into song when his son John was born. And John was going to be the one who was going to speak of the one who was coming. And Zechariah sang, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us." It's about the tenderness and the compassion of God. You see, God knew that what we did not need was someone to organize us. What we needed is someone to love us. So, Augustus came and they could close the doors of the temple of Janus in Rome. Jesus came and became a door, an opening, a way in by which we may go in and dwell with God. You know, Augustus was one of the few Roman emperors to die in his bed of natural causes after a long life. He was one of the few. Jesus doesn't die like that. He will die tortured to death by a descendant of that Caesar. But in his dying, he will be blessing and forgiving his executioners. Caesar may have organized the world with coercion, and Caesar may have sent people out to die for him. God sends himself among us to die for us. Well, Luke is trying to tell us that in Bethlehem that night, God reversed the polarity of the world. He organizes the world in a new way, and we realize it's not Caesar who holds the world together. It's the God of love. And all who simply love Him and trust Him will find life in Him. St. Paul says it this way, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." He even chose a little baby to be the sovereign, the Lord, our King. Thanks be to God. Amen. The light has come into the world, and the darkness shall never put it out. For the light is stronger than all of the fearful, frightening places through which we must pass. give thanks to God. And now go into the world in peace, and may the light of Him whose star is rising upon us bring us hope and bring us joy. In the name of the One who loves us and we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.